Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
It's just being ready for it. Like, you know, like you run the marathon and you'll hit a bad patch. You know, it's almost given, like almost everyone does, you know, and I think it's the one that can manage that bad patch the best. They'll do the best on that day.
On this episode of The Rundown, I had another great chat in Boston with ultra runner and strength coach Matt Doré. Growing up playing hockey, he used his competitive spirit to constantly challenge himself. That same intensity later translated into running and often pushed him to the limit. Since then, he's learned to harness that energy, to train and race smart. We got to speak about his experience in ultra trail running, adventure racing, and what he expected for his first ever Boston Marathon. Safe to say, his prediction was pretty darn close. Are you already subscribed to The Rundown? Running with WRG and still can't get enough? Sign up to their weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the community, hear about exclusive run events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Just go to iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. In this week's news, we'll look ahead to this year's Chicago Marathon happening on October 13th. Top U.S. distance runner Galen Rupp will be racing the marathon after missing the last year following a foot injury. He's worked extremely hard to get back into top shape, running 60 miles a week and another 50 to 60 miles per week on an underwater treadmill. Galen will have to face a competitive elite field. Among them will be 2018 winner Mo Farah, who is back to defend his title. Should be a fun showdown to watch. The beauty of running is that some of the best stories don't even come from the elites. At the Pittsburgh Marathon on May 5th, Jessica Robertson and Laura Mazur crossed the line well after the 7-hour cutoff, but they did so hand in hand, encouraging and motivating each other right to the end. All the course amenities and aid stations stayed open for both runners throughout their race, and the sweeper car allowed them to finish too. Before the race, they didn't even know each other. They only found each other at mile 14 and decided to stick together for the remainder of the race. It was Robertson's first ever marathon, and Mazur's 12th, an accomplishment they both should be very proud of. Make sure to check the show notes for links and more information. That's all for now. Gotta run. From running competitions to coaching running as well, this guy seems to do it all. He was from Ottawa originally, but now is living in Australia, but I have the pleasure of meeting with and chatting with Matt Doré, so... Great to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for coming on The Rundown.
Oh, no. Thanks. I'm pumped to be back to Canada for a few weeks, and it's good to catch up.
Yeah, exactly. And we have a unique opportunity here to kind of connect in Boston, which is awesome. So I'm fortunate to do a few interviews down here, and you're going to be running it, right?
Yeah, running tomorrow morning. Uh-huh. I think we're probably close to the same wave or corral.
What are you in?
Because I'm wave one, corral 3.
Okay, so am I.
There you go.
So I was worried that actually that, because I was thinking maybe we could run together, you know, a little bit and see how things go. And I was worried that maybe you were in another corral or something, but turns out...
There you go. We'll probably start together and then see what happens.
See what happens. Yeah, you never know. Knows? It's like after last year, it's like it's such a... Well, to put it lightly, shit show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And looks like we'll get a bit of rain tomorrow. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be a wet one.
Exactly. So, how did, you're in Boston now, but how did this all begin for you? Like, what was your childhood like growing up? Was running always a big part of it?
Yeah, running was always a part of it. Probably not as big as it is now. I grew up like your typical, I guess, young Canadian playing ice hockey. Like I was probably, as soon as I could walk, I was, my dad put some skate on me. So Yeah, like I started to skate, I was 3 years old, and then played competitive hockey when I was five. And then till I was 20 years old, like I'd say hockey was like the sport. Like I've played the highest level I could probably till I was 16, 17. And then kind of like school took a little bit of a upper in the importance scale. Running was more something to keep in shape during the summer months for hockey tryouts. And but where I took running a little bit more seriously was in high school. I just try out for the track and field club and, you know, ran the 400 and 800 meters. So I was more of a mid distance because with my ice hockey background, like it's a 1 minute shift, mm-hmm. right? So I figure, oh, I might be all right in 400 meters, like just go all out for a minute, you know, or so, and I'll be all right. So I did pretty good. I had a twin brother, so we would just train together all the time in high school. And we made it to, well, I guess state championship or provincial championship. So mm-hmm. we were okay. We weren't the best, but we were competitive.
At least you guys could push each other. And
absolutely. We were the most competitive against each other. Mm-hmm. So that was good to have a training buddy. And we were exactly in the same level. So we would race together, and he would finish like 0.01 ahead of me. And then the next race, it was the opposite. So it was crazy. Mm-hmm. So it was the best training buddy because we were exactly the same strength and same speed.
Mm-hmm. How competitive were you in hockey? And does that competitive nature translate to running? Or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like between us or just the competitive?
Yeah, just in general.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was extremely competitive growing up. Like to a certain point, I was basically probably 12 years old, and my dad had to buy my hockey stick in dozens because I was, as if I would miss a shot or miss, like get a penalty, I would break my stick in the penalty box. I was just like, I wanted to win so bad all the time. It was to a point, it was almost unhealthy. Mm. But I guess that's what pushed me as an athlete growing up. So yeah, it was good, but it kind of changed as I grew older. I love the competition, but now I learned to have a little bit more fun with it, I'd say.
That's like such an important part of it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is that something that you share with your athletes a lot of the time?
Definitely. Definitely. Because yeah, it was to a certain point, like the competitiveness, like I was like almost getting anxiety attack. Like if I would get a penalty or if I would lose, like it was nuts. So I've learned, you know, through some good coaches that I had growing up, and my dad was a good role model as well. And my brother was always the go, go, go. Then my brother was more the twin that would analyze things before doing something. So learning from him as well was fairly good. So now I try to balance both, which I think it's a good formula. And I try to preach that to my athletes as well. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. And once you found running, mm-hmm. so track in high school and yep. stuff, did that continue on, or was there any points where you decided to take a break or?
Yeah. So I'd say the changing point, because track, I was still like playing badminton, volleyball. I was doing all the sports in high school and still playing competitive hockey. And where I really did the change is when I was 20 years old, my last year at University of Ottawa. I was like, man, I'm done with hockey. Like, I'm not going to play pro, so I want to try something new. And I'm like, oh, I'm pretty decent at running. So I just tried out for the track cross-country team for the GGs at U of O. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, why not? So I trained with the Ottawa Lions all that summer from basically May to September. And I got pretty fit because I was training with some guys that were very good runners. And that's where I really took running very seriously, training with the Ottawa Lions. And then I did the cross-country season, kind of like the varsity cross-country season that year. And then I even did some indoor track and field with U of O until I pulled my left hamstring pretty much in the provincial qualifying race. So that was the end of my university career. But it was good. I had fun, but that's where kind of like running took off. Mm-hmm. From there, basically after uni, I was like, I'm not going to run track anymore. I'm just going to run to stay fit. And probably I wanted to do like something a little bit crazy. So me and my brother signed up for I thought it was crazy. I signed up to the half marathon. It was the Winterman. So I'm like, I'm going to do my first half marathon middle of the winter. So that was in 2010.
Okay.
So 9 years ago. So yeah, I ran my first half and I think I did at that time, I was like 126, which for me, I was like,
that's really good.
First half, middle of winter, it was like minus 25. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Mm-hmm. And then it was really then that kind of like things kind of like started exploding. Cause before that I ran like a few 10Ks, you know, cross country and road training for that and 5Ks. And I really, really enjoy the longer stuff. Cause I was kind of like with my hockey background and track and field. And cause I was so competitive back then with myself that I would always train myself to the point I would puke. It was crazy. Like I would push my body almost like every second practice when we had intervals or like ice hockey, we would do suicide and I would push myself until I puked. And when I got to my 20s, I was like, I didn't have that motivation anymore. Like it seems like I've pushed myself so much back then. I was like, nah, you know, I enjoy going out for like a 10, 15K, just nice and easy run, you know, like not hurting all the time, every time I've trained. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the whole switch was made into more like endurance running, I'd say.
Nice. And you like looking back, like, those training techniques that you had before,
they were shit. They were insane. I had absolutely no balance. Like, you know, I had no easy run, you know, like now what I preach to my athletes and what pretty much every professional, in my opinion, does, like they have their hard session and their easy session. They keep them easy. Right. Back then I was just, everything I was doing was like 110%. Right. Cause that back then, like 10, 15, 20 years ago, I thought, that was the way you do it. The harder you work, the better you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Right. But it wasn't it.
Yeah. That's and the rest point is so important and learning how to do it.
Yeah.
Do that is definitely a challenge and something you have to, it almost doesn't make sense until you do it. And,
yep.
And then you're like, wow, okay, I'm progressing so much better now because my body has the
time to recover.
Thanking my body and
definitely
it's thanking me.
Yeah.
Was that injury that you had one of the more challenging things that you've faced as a runner?
So when I pulled my hamstring, that was kind of like, I realized when I did my university year, I was basically injured all the time. Like, and that's the mentality we were using. Like, they were training us basically like army dudes. Like it was insane. Like I remember then like half of our team was always injured. It was looking back now, I'm like, this made no sense. Like I just made it to the kind of like the state championship, but I couldn't race half of the first part of the year because I was injured. I think I had like IT band syndrome. And then I managed to sneak one good race in and qualify for the state championship, did the state championship. And then track and field was kind of the same thing. I pulled my hamstring pretty much the qualifying race. So I'm like, man, like it was hard because that put me out for, I would say, a good 6 months because it was a good pull, probably a little tear. I can't remember. But it was kind of like back of my leg was like black, purple, like it was nasty. So that was tough. But I had my fair share of, after that, I think I got a lot smarter. I got injuries, but it was more like from like twisting my ankle or stuff like that. It wasn't from overtraining. So I'd say those years, like, yeah, they were probably stupid kind of training, I would say, but, it was a good learning curve for me as an athlete and as a coach, because from that I grew to be a better athlete and then a better coach, definitely.
So how? What are some of the reasons? What are some of the ways now that you prevent injury?
Yeah, well, just taking more rest days or taking easier days, doing strength training. I'm a strength and conditioning coach as well, and I think that's really, really important. Also, like cross training during off season, you know, get on the bike, get in the pool. Get on the skis, you know, if you live in Canada, or do some yoga. Then back then I was just running as hard as I can all the time, basically. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just to put a little bit more variety in your training. That's been pretty much the winning formula for me. And I try to preach that to my athletes as well. Mm-hmm. So, which I found it's funny because I had the opportunity to live in Canada and Australia. In Canada, we're pretty good during off season because our winters are pretty shit. Like, it's hard to run.
It's called a spade a spade.
Yeah, every day. Like, it's difficult. So it kind of forced us to take that off season because there's not as many races as well, like, you know, during those winter months. So, you know, you get in the gym, you get on your bike, or you do spinning, you do more yoga. Or if you do cross-country skiing, that's amazing. And I found Canadians are less injury-prone than I'd say living in Australia, because the weather is phenomenal all year round. You can run all year round. There's races every weekend. Like, they have absolutely no off-season, but everyone is injured. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Yeah.
So just seeing that those two difference from two country, like, I'm like, off season, like, you need to take 2 or 3 months a year, in my opinion, just to kind of like chill and give your body a break and give it something else. Yeah. So that's kind of like, for me, been the winning formula to stay injury free.
Okay. Yeah. And it's been a while now.
Yeah. Like, I think my last injury was, my last two was in Australia. I was running trails and I twist my ankle pretty bad on trails. That's not an over, you know.
Overusage.
Yeah, it was just a bad luck. So they put me in a moon boot for about 8 weeks. So that was pretty long. Mm-hmm. Frustrating as well, because I'm like, man, it's nothing I could control, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then the second one was, and that one I knew, I was training for, because now I was training for an ultra marathon. It was the Sky Running Championship for New Zealand and Australia. That was 2 years ago, pretty much to this day. And I knew to do well at that race, I needed to push my body, like almost meeting that red line. And I think that's, to a point, what professionals have to do. You know, not your everyday people, you know, like basically you and me. Yeah, we like to be competitive, but those professional that does that for a living, like, they have to push that red line and be on the verge of being injured basically the whole time, all the time. So training for that race, I kind of like tried that, and I basically went for a scan a week before the race and discovered I had a stress reaction in my tibia. So it was almost a stress fracture. And then my sport physio was like, well, Matt, like, you've done all the work. If you're able to tolerate the pain, race, and then we'll take care of it after the race. And that's what I did. I still raced, and then I was in a moon boot for about 6 weeks after. Mm. So that was basically my last injury, but I kind of like, I knew what I was in for, mm-hmm. You know, cause I was pushing, I was putting more miles, you know, more vert than I knew what my body was capable. So I knew I was playing with a fine line. So that was basically my last injury, I'd say.
Was that one of the tougher race experiences you've ever had?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I had a good race considering that. Managing the pain, you know, was massive. I managed to came in third at that race, which that was my goal to podium. I had a time goal in mind. I missed it by about 15 minutes. Took me just over 9 hours. It was a 75K race with 4,500 meters of descending and climbing on some pretty tricky tracks. Mm-hmm. So it was tough. And then rookie mistake, my shoes were a bit too small. So I finished the race, but it was probably good because I didn't even feel my stress reaction anymore because my toes were hurting so bad from descending and like probably half a size shoe too small. Like I finished the race and I had to pierce my my toenails because there was like blood blistered under. It was hurting so bad descending that last mountain that I totally forgot about my stress reaction, basically. So I think that cost me a little bit of time, but considering I had a pretty good race, but yeah, it was a tough, tough race. Basically finish, collapse at the finish line, and they had to put me on an IV for about 30 minutes to 45 minutes.
That's crazy.
So yeah, it was a crazy race. That was 2 years ago. That was my last big race.
Okay.
Since, yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So.
I know you like, you prefer trail, you said.
Yep.
But what are the main differences, would you say, between trail running and road running? I mean, also in the training. Like,
yeah.
Because like for myself, like I've done, you know, I did a 65 at Harricana, which was fun, mm-hmm. but I haven't really got into trail that much yep. yet. I think after when I'm done with the marathon distance, then I
yeah.
might go into it. But yeah, I just wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, the training is totally different, definitely, because I've been training for Boston Marathon, I'd say for the last 16 weeks or so. And it's more about cadence, more about, you know, specific pace. Like I found like, okay, when I go for an easy run, my pace needs to be in between this and that. When I do threshold, my pace in between this and that, or VO2 max. Like, so I think it's a lot more specific, in my opinion, training for a road marathon, like hitting specific intervals, specific time in training, specific distance. Then I found when I train myself and my athletes for trail races, it's more about feel. And I'm a big fan of that, and that's why I enjoy it a lot better. So when I was training for Boston, yeah, I had like an easy pace. I had basically a threshold pace or an interval pace, you know, or a recovery pace. So it's, I found it a lot more specific. Then when I train for trail ultra, it's more about feel. So I'll say today I'm going to do 3 hours easy, wherever feel easy that day, right? Because it depends on the conditions, depends on the trails, depends on how technical it is, right? Or I'm going to do like a hilly 1 hour at moderate, whatever feels moderate. So that's what I found about training. And that's probably why I enjoy the trails. It gives me a lot more freedom than training for a road marathon. I think it's to a point, because I've done it so much in the past, it's too specific. Like there's, it's like you're almost like a robot, like hitting those pace, keeping the same cadence over and over again. Like for me, it doesn't give me the freedom that I appreciate so much doing trail running, where it's all about feel for me on trails. Mm. Yeah.
And so you also have to add in like elevation and stuff. I can imagine climbing a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's for me, I'll pull up a lot better training for a trail race, an ultra trail race, than a road marathon. Like I found the training for a road marathon so much harder on my body because yeah, it's always the same stride day after day, you know, stride after stride. It's that same stride. So it's a lot of pressure on your body, you know, on those. Then when you go on trails, yeah, sometime like you'll power hike that hill. You're going down, you're turning, like it's not the same stress over and over again on your body. So it's funny, like I can put, you know, 130K weeks on the trails, you know, with 5,000 meter of climbing and descending, and I'll pull up pretty well. Then on the road, if I do 130K, my body like will pretty much be broken. For me, like, you know, I'm not a skinny guy. You know, I'm usually 72, 75 kilograms, or in pounds, I think that's 175 pounds. So after 130K week, like my body's feeling it. Like I can't do that week after week.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm on the trails, not a problem. So yeah, I think it's just that repetitive, you know, that's pretty tough on my body. Yeah.
Are you coaching all different ranges of athletes or is it mostly trail?
I do have some road runners that trains for like their half marathon or marathon, and some are, I'd say, you know, training for their first one. Some of them are training, you know, to qualify for Boston. Same thing on the trails. I've trained, you know, guys that or ladies that do 24-hour race, or it could be shorter race, and it could be elites or beginners. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it because they're all different. They're all different challenges, but they're all pretty much self-motivated. And that's what I enjoy about runners. They're motivated. It's not like I've done, I'd say 12 years ago, I was more of a fat loss coach. So I was training people to lose weight, and which was fun, but you almost become more of a motivator. Then I found runners that's training for the first marathon. They're motivated already. You just have to give them the right tools. And I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. And sometimes, yeah, you need to pick them up once in a while when they're having a bad patch in their training, and that's okay. And that's what I love to do as well. But the self-motivation and the excitement they already have, that motivates me as well as a coach. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So I like that big range from ultra to their first 5K. It's just different challenge, which mm-hmm. is really enjoyable.
What are some of the tips you give somebody that's trying something new, like a new distance, like yep. a marathon, like trying to qualify for Boston? What are some of the things that you could share?
Yeah, for me, it's always the first thing is to keep the excitement, right? So you got to find a training program or a coach or whatever you're doing, you got to have fun. Because for me, yeah, if you got fun, it's going to come a lot easier. It's when you lose the fun, and it's not always going to be fun. Let's face it. Like sometime you have to go out, it's pouring rain, it's cold, like you have to do it. But most of the time it should be somewhat fun, right? So that's probably the most important part, that I make sure for my athletes. Like I could write to you the best program in the world, you know, or you could get the best program in the world from the best coach in the world. But if you look at it and it's like, oh my God, this is going to suck. Mm. Like it's going to be hard to stick to it for 16, 20 weeks. Mm. Right. So for me, it's to have a honest conversation with my athletes, really find like what works and what doesn't works for them and what's fun and what's not fun, and put a little bit of both in it. Mm. Right. Because I rather do like probably not the best program in the world for them, but something I know they'll keep up for 16, 20 or, you know, 2 or 3 years, they're going to keep running, right? Mm-hmm. And not get injured and not get burned out. So that for me, that's probably the most important part, is the fun part.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you know... Is it hard to figure out what an athlete's potential is?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. That's why at first, the way I train my athletes is I go by feel. So even if I train someone that's training for a 10K specific time or a half marathon and wants to break 90, at first I'll just go by feel. So I'll just say, okay, today you're going to run 45 minute easy, whatever it feels easy today. Certainly if they haven't run that many half, I want them to feel at first what easy feels like, or what moderate or what hard feels like. Because I feel that's really important as an athlete to be able to feel that, than just prescribing specific pace. Because, man, if you're a server and you've had a 12-hour shift today, you were on your feet all day and you're supposed to do a 15K easy run, maybe your pace will be 6 minutes per kilometer. Then if you just had like a 10-hour sleep, you're fresh, you had 2 days off, maybe today it's going to be 5:15, right? So because we're not pro athletes and, you know, our life doesn't rely all on running, we're not always napping or resting or eating what we want all the time. Like, it's hard, you know. Mm-hmm. It's so you got to respect your body, and whatever feel easy today, that's what you're running, mm-hmm. right? So for me, like, what was the question?
It's just like I often think about potential for myself, yeah. and like how. Okay, I'm putting the work in. I want to put the work in.
Yeah.
I'm motivated to get faster.
Yep.
But where is it going to stop? You know, like, where does it, you know, you at a certain point, there's just like, you can only get.
Yeah.
So how do you know that for whoever you're training?
So
for my
athletes, so sometimes, to be honest, like, I had athletes, like, if I've trained for 2 or 3 years and we kind of plateaued, I'll be honest. I'm like, hey, Justin, like, I think I've done everything I could for you. Like, maybe go see this guy or go see this girl. Maybe they'll do something different with you that, you know, you're going to break that plateau. Mm-hmm. Or I'll recommend, like, okay, maybe you've done everything you could in the marathon. Maybe let's try and run a fast 10K now. And sometime just that switch, if you come back in the marathon, like, in 2 years, maybe that will change things up. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, so I'll try to find a different challenge for them than always being stuck. Like, man, I've been trying like 8 years to run that sub-3 to qualify for Boston and it's not working, right?
That's
so
tough.
It's just change it up for a year, you know, go run trails or trying to run a fast 5K or 10K, train for that for a year. Mm. And then next year, let's come back to that, right? So it's just to try and, yeah, get out of that rut, right?
Yeah.
With a different goal sometime. I think that works. Or with a different plan. Could be a different coach or a different training program, different advice.
Just a different approach in
exactly.
general.
So, and if the different approach doesn't work, different goals, mm-hmm. right? Just aim for something different and then come back to it in a year or two.
Yeah. What's your greatest accomplishment to date?
Running wise?
Yeah. I mean, it could be anything. But.
Yeah. So I think I did a race. It was in 2013. I ran from the coast of New South Wales in Australia to the highest peak. So it's a race called Coast to Causey. So Kosciuszko is the highest peak in Australia. It's about, I think it's 2,300 to 2,500 meters above sea level. And so we start at sea level and you run nonstop as quick as you can to the top. And it's on a specific route they only accept 50 runners a year. They don't do it anymore because they don't have the permits. I think they ran it for about 12 years. And, so I ran 240 Ks. So it's 150 miles nonstop in just over 27 hours. Mm. And for me, that was really, really good time. That I placed third at that race, which at the time was the fourth best time of all time. So I would have won any other year. And then still to this day, I think it's the sixth or seventh best time of all time. So I had a really good race.
Wow.
Really, really good race. And yeah, so I would say that was probably one of my biggest accomplishments. And that was 6 years ago. So I was not as experienced, like, as a bit clueless of what I was doing. Like, I was running in, like, basically minimal shoes, 240 Ks. Like, nowadays, like, people, like, I would say never do that. And like, 100 Ks in, like, my feet were hurting so much, but I only brought one pair of shoe. And my crew members at the time was like, well, man, you're going to have to suck it up. Like, you got 140 Ks to go. I'm like, oh my God. Mm. But then you just kind of like forget about it. And that's basically the race I've learned. Like, your mind is so, so, so much stronger than what you think. Because, 100 Ks in, I was about to throw the towel. But then as the race progressed, I just got stronger and stronger and stronger. So, yeah, that race was unbelievable for me. I've learned so much. I'd say probably the hard way because, nutrition-wise, training-wise, like, I was a bit clueless back then, I'd say. But it worked out pretty well considering.
Yeah. What are some things you do nutrition wise? Like, and what are some of the things you've learned there?
Yeah. So Well, everyone's different, right? So it took me so long to figure out kind of like what works for me. Mm-hmm. So I'd say like if I do any race that's under 100 kilometers, which for me, the effort, anything under 100 kilometers is pretty, it's a strong effort. So all fuel, pretty simple, all fuel on gels every 30 minutes, as long as I can. And then just fuel on liquid nutrition after that. Because until like usually when I hit 5 to 6 hours, my body can't stomach gels or solid food anymore if you're going at a higher intensity. So I'll just fuel on liquid nutrition. And that could be, there's different brand. Like I've been using Hammer. And yeah, that worked out pretty well for me in the longer races. But then if I do like the 240K race I've done, or I do also a 24-hour adventure racing, and that'll fuel on solid food because your intensity is not as high during those events, then I found I can stomach more solid food. So bars, like adventure racing, like...
What is that?
So that's... yeah, good question. That's basically, it's teams of four. If you want to be in the premier category, you're three guys, one girl. And you got to stick together the whole time. So basically the night before, the morning of, they give you a map and you just got a few hours to study the map. And you got to hit different checkpoints along the map. And it's not marked or anything. You got a compass and maps and you got to make your way through the course as a team. And some legs are on the mountain bike, some legs are paddling, and some legs are on foot. And you just got to hit every checkpoint as fast as you can. Mm. And usually you got 24 hours to hit them all. So you'll cover probably, I'd say, anything around 150 to 200 kilometers, but in those three disciplines. And you're navigating, like, it's not marked trails. Most of the time, like, you're on foot, you're bushwhacking. So the one we did in the Muskokas, that one, we had a paddling leg. It was at night. We paddled 40 Ks nonstop. But we had about 12 portage to do during that 40 K. And then you got to carry all your gear, all your food. Like, it's nuts. Yeah. It's insane. I just started doing that last year because there was a team. They were missing one guy. It's like, Matt, would you be willing to do it? I'm like, yo, I've never done them. I haven't cycled for like mountain bike like in 15 years and I've never paddled. It's like, oh, you've done ultra marathon, you'll be all right. And I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. So they kind of test me up for a whole month. Like my first time back on the bike, they brought me to some like super technical trails. I probably fell like 15 times. But I kept grinding. And then the next day we did a 70K bike ride in Gatineau Park. And I survived. And then they took me on a pretty challenging paddle on Ottawa River. And I powered through. And they're like, okay, cool. Yeah, you're on the team. Mm-hmm. So that was the start of my adventure racing career. Wow. And we did our first race in Maine, USA. That was in May last year. And I was the weakest link on the team. Like I was, you know, because I didn't have much technique in paddling, much confidence on the mountain bike. So my technical skills weren't that great. But the competitive, you know, edge in me was like, oh. So all that summer, I was like on the bike. I was, I had one of my teammates that his main sport is paddling.
Okay.
So I was going with him and he was teaching me like proper form, proper technique. So the second race we did in September, big difference. I was actually on that race on that day. I was the strongest on the team on the bike and then paddling. I was, you know, doing pretty well. So I'm like, here we go. Now I got it.
That's so great.
It's really enjoyable. I really like, I guess it's similar to somewhat a triathlon. Like it's just that change of sport. Mm. I found it somewhat easier than doing a long ultra marathon because ultra marathon, you're always doing the same thing, right? So you can kind of like get bored or get fatigue easier than adventure racing. You're kind of like looking forward to like getting off the bike and finally you're on foot or getting in the boat. So it changed. So, and then it's that team aspect that I really enjoyed as well. Coming from ice hockey background, team sport. Like, that's a team sport. You're as fast as your weakest link. Mm-hmm. So if I'm struggling and Justin, you're having a phenomenal day, well, we're going to put a toe on the bike. You're going to be pulling me, right? So it's like you're working together, or you're going to be carrying like most of my water and my food, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, I really enjoy that. That was really fun. So last year that was kind of like possibly my main focus. And then it was after that, then I was like, okay, now I got to train for Boston, which is like,
oh yeah,
completely different kind of training.
Yeah.
But that's what I enjoy now. I enjoy the change. You know, I enjoy like doing different things. So it was, I was actually looking forward to train for Boston, because I was on the bike, I was paddling, I was doing a lot of trail running last summer, then starting to hit the road and back to speed training, threshold workouts. Like, it was actually fun because I haven't done it for a long time. So
kind of stepping away allows you to come back and appreciate it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what I kind of like do now. The first part of the year, I'll do like quicker races, I guess. So road race, shorter races. And then the second part of the year, I'll try to aim and do a longer race. Yeah. So, which kind of like works in my favor. So I'll work on speed, you know, for the first half of the year, and then trying to carry that into the longer stuff. Because that's a lot of time, that's what we forget training for ultras and all that. You know, we forget about the speed. We just think about surviving, right? But nowadays, ultra marathon trail running, like, there's some pretty fast dudes. So if you want to compete, you got to do some speed stuff. Mm-hmm. So that change keeps it interesting, but at the same time, I think it's favorable somehow.
What are some of the ways? Because I mean, with these distances, and I can't wrap my head around them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like 65 was the most
I think, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, but how do you work the mental side?
Yeah, well, that's what I always say. For me, like, an ultra, it's just being ready for it. Like, you know, like, you run the marathon and you'll hit a bad patch. You know, it's almost given, like, almost everyone does, you know. And I think it's the one that can manage that bad patch the best. They'll do the best on that day. Then an ultra, sometime you'll hit 2, 3, maybe 4 bad patch. But it's just to know that they come and go. And that's what I've learned with experience. They come and go most of the time. So you're going to feel like crap or like shit for an hour. But you know, like, okay, just suck it up. Suck it up. Keep eating. Keep moving. Keep hydrating. And all of a sudden, yeah, you're going to feel better again. So that's like, for me, because I finished some ultras, and sometimes like my last 15K in a 50-mile race was my best one. So that's what I discovered. You never know when you're going to get on the other side of it, but you're always going to get on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just to keep telling yourself mentally that it's going to pass. It's going to pass. It's going to pass.
That's what you do?
Yeah. That's what I do. So there's no formula. I don't think there is. It's just to know that these bad times are going to pass. Yeah. And yeah, sometime in a race, like in running a marathon, it could happen. Sometime it happened to me like 18Ks in, and I'm like, man, I feel like I don't feel really good today. And then I get to 25 and now I'm finding my groove, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just to know that these moments are going to pass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like just any situation in life, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like,
exactly.
When you look back on things, like,
yeah,
you always tend, you know, you always get through them.
Yeah.
And at that moment, that was the worst thing ever, you know?
That's it. That's, you know, it. They don't last. They don't last.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it. And you can't, and it's to practice that. You can practice that like in your runs, doing intervals, in your long runs. I think you should kind of like live that during training before race day. So for example, you know, if you're doing like threshold work and you got to do like 15 minutes efforts and stuff like that, if you're doing like 3 15 minutes effort, maybe your second one like didn't feel so good, but your third one felt great. And then that's a little battle in itself. It's like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I didn't feel really good the second one. I'm like, maybe I won't be able to do the third one, but I got through it pretty well. Mm-hmm. Like on race day, that might happen. You know, the two-third into the race, you might not feel so good, but then you're going to come out on the other side, and then the last third, you're going to feel great. Mm-hmm. So I think it could be visualized and could be practice and training as well. And for me, it's to try and prepare my athletes for that. And that's why long runs, you know, you in my opinion, you got to throw in some intensity into your long run to try and live that a little bit, to get uncomfortable in those longer periods.
I know you trained a lot, and growing up in hockey and stuff, you were always around teammates.
Yep.
I was just curious about, like, when you were living in Ottawa, how did the whole run club evolve? And I know you were a big part in that, and mm-hmm. in the community in Ottawa. And like, how is it different in Australia now?
Yeah. So yeah, Ottawa's great. Like, I found, because I was in Melbourne for, I'd say, 3 to 4 years. And I found when I came back, because I'm like, man, I'm going to have to start working, or like, I want to see where the running community is. And I couldn't believe how much it kind of like exploded in the last 4 to 5 years. And then that's where I found the Ottawa City Run Club. And I'm like, man, this club is cool. You know, they're meeting up. They got tons of runners on Tuesday night. They had a really, really good thing going on. They have a really, really good thing going on. And that's when I approached Kella. I'm like, Kella, like, I want to work with you. Like, let's add another night. Like, maybe let's add another night with somewhat of a structure to it. You know, and that's where we created the OCRC FAST. And I'm like, let's just do it during those hard winter months, you know, just a bunch of people, we can meet up and do some hard sessions together. Because in my opinion, like, those are the tough one to do wintertime. You know, like, you don't want to go do hill repeats or speed work like during winter, not in Canada. So yeah, that's why we did OCRC FAST, and we did it out of a brewery in Ottawa. So we would go out for 45 minutes, do some intervals. Depending on the weather, I would find a route, you know, that would work, that we could do some kind of speed stuff. And then most of us, we would just grab a pint or two after, you know. So, because for me, it's all about that balance. Like, we're not training for the Olympics, but yeah, we're training, we're working hard, and then yeah, let's celebrate our workout. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like, for me, I was only back for a year in Ottawa, but I wanted to be part of it. So, and that was fun that Kayla let me be part of OCRC, and all the guys from and girls from OCRC let me be part of their club and bring a little something to it, which was really, really fun. Mm-hmm. So, and then I had the opportunity to go to Montreal. And then
that's run. Where you met probably for the second time, because I think I met you Ottawa race weekend.
Yep.
2018 last year.
Yeah, we did a little shakeout.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's
when near the flame there.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
You did a talk. I remember little talk.
Yeah, yeah. So that was fun. That was fun. And then
that's where you qualified, right?
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's. Well, because my wife, she's from Australia, and for her, Boston was her dream. Like, that's been a big, big goal of hers. Mm-hmm. So she said, Matt, like, I want to do Boston 2019. I'm like, okay. So I gotta get my qualifier as well. So that's why I did Ottawa Marathon. Okay. And I got my qualifier there. Then she, actually, she trying to get her qualifier around April last year, and she just had, like, she was sick, so she had to pull out of the race 18Ks in. So then she was like kind of like juggling, trying to find a marathon. And she came in Canada for 2 weeks, and we found a marathon in St. John, New Brunswick, like out of nowhere. Like, it was like 12-hour drive. We're like, let's go and do it. And we went to do it, super hilly course and all that, but she got her qualifier.
Wow.
So we both had our qualifier, and my dad got his qualifier at Petit Train du Nord in 2017, but in October. So that's
late race.
Yeah. So yeah, the three of us got our qualifier for this year, which...
Your dad's running it too?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's running it second time?
Or yeah, so that's the second time. Wow, yeah. So it's pretty special to be able to kind of like come in. We won't run together,
right,
but to live the experience with my wife and my dad. So that's going to be pretty amazing.
Pretty epic. Yeah,
yeah, pretty. And just to be here this weekend with them is awesome, and to share that experience.
Yeah, I love this city and just the vibe around and just the energy. Like it's a sports town.
Yeah.
So you got the running, and then you get the hockey playoffs, and you get the baseball. It's amazing. And basketball.
Well, that's why my older brother is here just for
whatever.
Yeah, he's not a runner at all. But
so wait, so you have two?
So I got a twin brother and an older brother.
Okay.
Yeah. So my twin brother, he used to be, you know, quite athletic, but then, you know, he's married, he has two kids now, so, you know, different priorities.
Right.
He's pretty busy with work, so.
Okay.
But my brother came for the trip, and yesterday my dad and brother went to the Boston Bruins games.
Nice.
Now we're going to the Red Sox, and then we're doing the marathon. So my dad is like doing it all. For an old man, he's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, hockey game, baseball game, and then running the marathon.
He's soaking it all in.
Yeah. So, but yeah, when we met in Montreal, I found the running culture there is phenomenal. And I couldn't believe it. There's so many run clubs and run crews.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. So good. Like you can basically run every day.
Every night of the week you could run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I was really, really impressed. Cause in Australia, cause I was part of the Nike Run Club. Cause I was the head coach for Nike Run Club in Australia and New Zealand for about 2 to 3 years. So I was really involved in the running community. And then it's when I left, it was starting to have a few running crews and running club. Like a few of my mates, they started Hunters. And that's with them I ran the Speed Project last year. So I found
you did the Speed Project last year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I did it with a team from Australia and New Zealand.
Okay.
So we were, all the guys were from Australia and myself and our two girls were from New Zealand.
So you were a team of six?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, what did it take us? 38 hours. So we did pretty well. We came fifth, overall. So I don't know if there was, bigger teams in front of us, but yeah, we were the fifth team to arrive in Vegas.
Wow.
So we had a pretty good race. Which was a phenomenal experience. Like it's something like it was fun, but I don't know if I'd do it again. if that's for me personally. I know like a girl on our team, she went back this year and did it and she loved it. Cause it was a whole different team and I guess a whole different experience.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was that team atmosphere. And the training for that was completely different as well. Like I didn't really know how to train for that, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, you're kind of like running. We started with 10K runs. And then after that, we're like, fuck, we're not going to last. Mm-hmm. Then we chopped it down to 5, 3. And at the end, we're doing like 1K, you know, each. And yeah, you can't really train for that. It's so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The Speed Project, that was last year. So that was good fun.
I didn't know that. That's very cool.
Yeah. So that was with the Hunters. So that's the run, kind of like a run club, run crew in Melbourne. Yeah.
Okay.
But I found Australia and Canada, they're very similar. Very similar. I found like it's kind of like blooming right now, which is great, which is really, really good. It just gives an avenue to whoever, right? Whoever you are, you'll find a club wherever, whichever city you're in for you, right? Forever, what you're looking for. And that's what I say to people, like, if you do your research right, like, you'll find something that works for you, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so easier to find, you know, people to run with. Because I've lived it. I just moved to a whole different town in Australia. And it's hard at first when you don't know the routes, you have no one to run with. Like, that's tough. But when I went to Ottawa, you know, running every Wednesday night to do my speed session with, man, that was so easy, right?
You just follow along.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it was really, really fun in Ottawa, and I really miss that group. And I hope it would have been fun to spend more time in Montreal with you guys.
Of course, yeah. Well, we'll have another chance, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Or maybe we'll come out to Montreal, to Australia and visit.
Yeah.
And that's a place I've always wanted to come and see. So now I know somebody there.
Because where I am now, there's one. It's called Trails and Elves.
Okay.
And they meet every Wednesday. The other day we were 45 people.
Wow.
Every Wednesday night at 6. And they do about 8 kilometers on the trail. It's always an easy run on the trails. And then there's two guys, it's different guys or girls, every week is change. They bring 2 cases of beers. So you finish the run, you got 2 cases of beers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's super chill, super fun. It's more like a social thing than a training hard kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then with that, you meet people. Right, you meet people's like that are probably the same strength as you. It's like, hey, let's meet up on Tuesday morning. We'll do a speed session on the track. So it gives you a good avenue to socialize and meet people that kind of like do what you do, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been loving just with the Aubrey crew and the Trails and Ale crew.
Yeah, it's great to run. I lead one on Monday nights.
Yep.
With where I work, we have a run club, WRG.
Yeah.
So we run on Mount Royal every Monday nights. And then you're saying about the beer, like the Cielo crew.
Yep.
Run right in Montreal. They run on Thursdays and we always drink after.
Yeah.
So we always have like a few beers after. And I love it. Like, because I love beer and I love running. And we just sit down and just chat. And
that's it. And it, like, yeah, probably not everyone agrees to having a beer after running, but it's just a good way to socialize. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to keep people after the run. Mm-hmm. It's not like you run, it's like, okay, peace out, I'll see you next week. You know, like you open a bottle of beer and then you chat with different people. Mm-hmm. And that way you can meet a lot more people. Mm-hmm. For me, that's what the beer is all about. It's about the socializing.
Exactly.
Which is nice.
Yeah. We'll have a few tomorrow after the run.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah. Have you tried the 26.2?
I had it last night.
Yeah. Is it good?
Yeah, it's all right. I had it with pizza, so it was
perfect. Fair enough. Yeah. I haven't tried it.
The marketing got to me. Yeah. So, yeah. Why not? You know? Yeah. But I was going to ask you, what are some characteristics that describe yourself as a runner? How would you describe yourself?
Yeah, I would say hard-headed. Yeah, definitely hard-headed. I would say balance. Hard-headed probably because, I've pushed my body to, sometime way over than it should. And balance because now, I've learned from being hard-headed, and balance because... Yeah, I know I'm not going to make a living out of running. I'm not going to qualify for the Olympics, but to be the most competitive that I can, it's, if I found a good balance in between running, strength training, doing yoga, eating right. But, some days you eat salads, some days you eat pizza, right? Like for me, that's why I'm probably always happy, right? It's very... very rare that I'll hit lows, in life or in training. It's because I found the right balance for me, So, yeah, hard-headed balance. And I could say probably strong, because for a runner, I think I'm fairly strong for an endurance athlete. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people say to me is like, oh, you're that guy that, runs marathon and you're squatting like 250 pounds and deadlifting like 400 pounds. I'm like, yeah, that's me.
That's what you like, right?
Yeah, and that's what I like. And like for me, it's important, certainly as a strength conditioning coach, it's important. I don't want to be that strength training coach saying like, you got to get strong and I'm skin and bones, right? It's important for me to practice what I preach. I want to run the fastest I can or as long as I can, but I want to be able to, bench press, 200 pounds and squat that much. Like I want to do everything I would say, yeah, not perfect, but great, mm-hmm. right? That's where I'm at, mm-hmm. right? I could probably run a faster marathon if my only focus was road marathon, and I would probably lose like, you know, 5 or 8 pounds. I could probably, you know, run 10 minutes quicker. But for me, I wouldn't be satisfied. And in my opinion, mentally and physically, I don't think I'd be healthy. So I'd rather be a bit slower and be able to do all the other things great.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's so great. So strong.
Awesome. Yeah. What's what is a marathon look like? So what are you looking to eat? And
so usually it's pizza.
Yeah.
Pepperoni pizza. Because I just love pizza. It goes down very well.
Yeah.
But I had last night. I had pizza last night, so I don't know if I can do pizza again today.
Maybe some pasta?
Yeah, probably pasta. I'm pretty simple, so just some simple carbs.
Yeah.
Simple carbs, a little bit of protein. I found protein more difficult to digest. So usually I just eat really simple carbs and not overdo it. I'll probably have a pint of beer with that.
I was going to ask you, like...
Yeah.
I find, like, some people are like, oh, no, I don't drink before. I'm like, I don't know.
I mean, like, if you're used to drink beer, like, I drink beer every weekend.
Yeah.
So it's not one beer that's going to hurt me.
No.
And I'm going to stay hydrated all day today. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to the baseball game. So yeah, today I did a little shakeout run this morning. I ate quite healthy this morning. So avocado and tomato on toast, you know, so that was quite healthy. But then I'm going to the baseball game. So I'll probably have a pint there. Probably have one of those famous hot dogs.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I eat that usually on weekends once in a while. Like, I'm a big fan of 80-20. So you're good 80% of the time. The other 20, enjoy yourself.
Yeah. We got to live too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So because I'm used to that, I'm going to do that today. And then, go to the game and then, have a, you know, healthy dinner. So a little bit of vegetable, a little bit of carbs, a little bit of protein. Have maybe another beer, so 2 beers won't hurt me. It actually made me feel normal.
Relax. That's what my coaches always told me.
Like, yeah.
They told me they ran their best, because they're a couple, but they ran their best marathon in Chicago, and they polished like a couple of bottles of wine the night before. I don't know. Like,
absolutely. You gotta, in my opinion, just keep doing what you normally do, right? So that's basically my day today. And then get to bed, you know, somewhat early, because I think we got to take the bus around 6:30 a.m., which is not that early. Like, because usually these marathons starts like, that's a late start tomorrow. So I'm probably going to have a decent breakfast tomorrow morning. And then like just bring liquid nutrition and a bar in case I get pretty hungry.
On the bus.
And that'll be pretty much it for me. And then trying to run as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's going to be, is it going to be your first baseball game this afternoon?
So I went last year. So year I was here to just as a spectator to support my dad. So yeah. So, but last year it was freezing cold.
Yeah,
it was not enjoyable.
No.
So I think today the weather is quite nice.
Looks pretty warm out.
So it should be quite enjoyable. So no, I'm pumped. I'm pumped for that.
And what are you most looking forward to tomorrow? Like actually being on the course, running it for the first time.
Exactly. It's actually seeing the course and seeing the fans and seeing the other runners, like just, taking it all in.
Mm.
Because it's my first, I guess, major marathon. Cause I've done Ottawa a bunch of times. Last year was the first time I actually ran it for myself. But, you know, I ran it with my brother 1 year, with my dad, with my ex-girlfriend, you know, so I've done Montreal. That was my first marathon, but like Boston is kind of like the first big one. So mm-hmm. I just want to take it all in, and really try and enjoy myself as much as I can. For sure, I'm going to push it as much as I can, but never forget like why I'm here. And why I'm here is mostly to enjoy myself.
We're
pretty lucky somehow to be able to do Boston Marathon, because I know there's lots of people that are trying to get in for so many years. So I don't take that for granted. So I know like it's gonna hurt, but it's encouraging, like just keep reminding myself when I'm going to hurt that, you know, it's phenomenal that just being part of it. So yeah, a little bit of everything. The fans. Yeah. Cause last year I was here as a spectator and that was quite amazing. Mm-hmm. So now I just can't wait to just run like from, you know, start to finish.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's really special. And that's what I tell a lot of people running the first time. And I'm lucky enough to running it for my third. And every time is different. But there's no time like your first.
Yep.
And like the first time I ran it, I scrapped my time. I said,
yep,
10K. And I was like, this isn't going to go as I thought it was going to go or as I wanted it to go. But like the goal is always to have fun.
Yep.
I always have three.
Yep.
And my day was perfect because my time goal wasn't there, but
yep,
I had the best race ever because of where I was and just a full appreciation of
your mindset. Yeah. Yeah.
That's such a huge part of it. So yeah, if there's one word of advice that I can give, it's that. And this will air after Boston, so we'll know how it went. But I can maybe throw that in your intro or something.
Yeah.
What is my final question for you is like, what does running mean to you?
Yeah, running for
it's a broad one, but
No, I like it. I like it. Running for me is basically a way of life. Like anything I do in life is almost revolving around running. It's crazy. Like that's how I met my wife. It's because of running. That's something I share with my dad, is running. And my dad's been through a lot with cancer and everything. So it's something like I ran with him this morning. You know, I ran with my wife yesterday and that was really important for me. Like I wanted to at least, we won't run together tomorrow, but you know, I did a shakeout run with my wife yesterday along the water and that was beautiful. And then with my dad this morning. That's what I do for a living. It's basically I coach running athletes. For me, it's a way of life. Like everything I do is basically revolves around running. Mm-hmm. So I'm really thankful to find that sport. And now I would say a lot of my close friends, you know, it's because of running, mm-hmm. you know, so I've met them through running. So yeah,
we met through running and
that's it.
We're doing this podcast because we ran together and
it's phenomenal. And it's just the language of running. It's so special, mm-hmm. you know, like we understand each other when we speak to each other mm-hmm. and I got great mates that are not runner and I enjoy their company and all that, but it's, you know, when you talk to a runner, you understand what you went through, what you're going through, or, you know, like, I know some of my buddies will ask me, like, next weekend, it's like, so did you win? No, I probably placed, like, I don't know, 2,000. It's like, what? Shit. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, yeah. So. There's a good video. I'll try and find it for you. But
And even my mom, she's not a runner, but she means well. And she'll always ask me, well, did you win, Matt? Like, nah, not this time, Mom.
Try.
Well, how far were you? I'm like, I was far.
Especially in the marathon, it's these guys are running.
They're flying. Like I think my goal time, I'm aiming anything between 2:39 to 2:44. You know, which for me, it's rolling. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. yeah, if you're looking at the winners, like they're gonna run 2:10, 2:08. I don't know.
Yeah,
depends on the weather, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, running is a way of life for me, and because yeah. Basically, everything revolves around that. So.
Around that, yeah. I think the same thing's kind of happening for me too. So,
yeah.
But it's a good place to be.
Absolutely.
Feel good. You're healthy.
Yeah.
You make great connections. And
if you find that balance, like I said, running is important, but you got to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, like you got to eat your pizza once in a while and drink your beers once in a while, your glass of wine. And then it just makes running more enjoyable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck.
Thanks, man. Well, you too.
I'm hoping we can run together tomorrow.
Absolutely.
We'll find each other somewhere in the yep. corral. And all the best in Oz. And I'm happy we got to connect here. And, hopefully we can talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.
No problem.
See you in the morning.
Yeah. Bye-bye. This episode is brought to you by The Outrun Retreat.
The perfect combination of running, yoga, and wellness, all rolled into one weekend in the great outdoors. Join them May 30th to June 2nd at a beautiful cottage tucked away in the Eastern Townships. Elite runner Ariane Rabi and her team will guide you every step of the way, helping you set new goals and objectives for 2019. For more information, visit theoutrun.ca. See you out there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of La Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at imarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at La Rundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it. La Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henry, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.